word on Today FM.
John Gibbons is with us for the 199th edition of The Last Word of the Environment. We'll be celebrating 200 next week, and we are going to be leaving it open to you to send in your questions for John. We'll spend a bit more time with him next week than we normally do. But what I want to ask you about tonight is, why are the whales leaving the waters off Cork?
Yeah, good evening, Matt. Yeah, this is a campaign that has popped up that may some people will have seen that's got some traction. And the campaign is called Save Our Sprat. And it's local people expressing alarm at the collapse of the sprat population. Now, sprat basically is a small little fish. It's close to the base of the marine food chain. You mightn't say it's very important in itself, but it's extremely important as the foodstuff for many other marine creatures, including whales. So we know the whales, for example, were coming in and eating sprat in close to Bantry Bay and so on. So essentially what's happening is that the sprat population has been under absolute assault. First of all, it's not in any way a protected, right? There are no limits to sprat fishing. And it's an unfortunate fact that sprat, when they come to breed, which is like only once or twice a year, they do so. They go into inlets and they swarm, if you like, right?
Yeah.
That makes them an absolute, if you'll pardon the pun, fish in a barrel for trawlers to come in. So what we're seeing is in the so-called marine protected area of Bantry Bay in around Glengariff, you're seeing paired trawlers. That's basically two trawlers with a gigantic net between them. They're able to detect when the sprat are breeding, and they come up the bay and sweep everything out. So, and the thing about the sprat is they're very low value. They're really only
that's
used,
just what I'm wondering. Like, what's the point when they actually are the literally when it comes to the value chain for fishermen, they get a tiny amount of money for
that's
them.
Right. The one estimate is that they sell for 15 cents a kilogram, Matt. The point is they're being used as fish meal. So when you get that lovely organic salmon in the restaurant, right? Salmon.
The farmed course, salmon.
Farmed salmon. That salmon. Salmon are carnivores, so they feed them ground up sprat, among other things. They're also used, by the way, ground up and fed to animals as animal meal for protein. So they're the bottom of the marine food chain. When you knock that out, you essentially then create a cascade of hunger, and that, of course, drives away the larger marine creatures, including the whales. And this has had a really negative impact in particular, well, obviously in the marine ecosystems, but specifically here, because there had been quite a thriving industry in whale watching. People going out, paying good money to go out and see the whales and so on. And of course, that business has collapsed because, of course, the whales have moved elsewhere. Now, there is some pushback saying, oh no, it has to do with the warming water and there's trends like that and so on. But the reality is that we've been promised, Matt, legislation for marine protected areas in Ireland for 10 years and we have nothing. We're supposed by 2030 to have 30% of Ireland's water offshore waterways are supposed to be protected. But effectively at the moment, we're at close to zero. And when you can bottom trawl into a so-called special area of conservation like Bantry Bay, well, that essentially means that marine protection is completely meaningless.
Funny enough, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency yesterday brought out the first national climate change risk assessment. We'd Simon Neil with us last night on it, but I was going to talk to you about it anyway. It detailed 115 risks, but it did have one or two potential upsides, right? Increased hydropower generation because of increased rainfall. But also greater shellfish growth and marine species diversity due to us having warmer seas.
That's right. And of course, that's really, I guess, being a little bit optimistic, to put it mildly. I suppose they had so many negative points, I think somebody felt the need to put in something positive. Essentially what it means is we're reorganising in real time the movement of marine species, because as the waters are warming, warmer waters are basically pushing cold water species, Matt, further north. So what we're getting here in northwestern Europe, we're getting some species arriving that would be more typically associated, for example, with Spain, France, the Bay of Biscay. So you're getting that kind of marine shifts. But to think for a moment that that is something that is a good takeaway from the EPA report, I wouldn't think so. Can I offer you a different takeaway from the EPA report?
Please.
The one that really jumped out at me. They said, first of all, we're looking at global impacts of climate change on food security, supply chains, economic stability and migration. And they said, specific to Ireland, the risk to global food security poses a significant risk for Ireland because we're so heavily reliant on imports vegetables, fruits, grains, fertilisers and animal feed. Disruption in this supply of food due to extreme weather and other things, we're looking at shortages, increased food prices and potential food insecurity. That means really, really serious consequences. And as I say, a few exotic fish from Spain are not going to offset those kind of consequences. So I think the key takeaway really from the National Climate Risk Assessment report is we really need to start cutting emissions fast. And here in Ireland, we're way behind matters. You know, we're, depending on how you calculate it, we're between the second and the third worst per capita polluter in the European Union. So we're unfortunately, at the moment, we remain a huge part of this problem.
There's a listener, Claire in Cork, who says, re-sprat fishing, the same thing is happening in Antarctica with krill fishing. Norwegian trawlers down there fishing the krill that whales, seals and penguins need to survive, all for health and beauty products and to make farmed salmon look pinker. Humans are diabolical, says Claire.
On that, Matt, if I could ask people listening to us today, if you're offered krill oil and it shows up in all kinds of things, as you say, health products, please don't take it. Krill, I mean, it's showing up, as you said, in these so-called health supplements and so on, these fish oils. The place we need krill populations are in the oceans in Antarctica. But unfortunately, again, because the high seas are so incredibly poorly regulated, these gigantic trawlers, and it's Norway is one of them. We also see trawlers from China and from other nations going down there, and they're sweeping every piece of marine life out of the oceans. And to use your listener, it's diabolical, Matt.
Another listener says, at what point will we as part of nature cop on? You kill off the bottom of the food chain and we will also then disappear. Same with the bugs. Bug numbers are down and therefore the chain will also be broken, never to be mended. And I know you wanted to talk about that exact topic as well.
That's right, Matt. I mean, we've spoken about this a number of times over the last few years.
But there's new information on it,
isn't
there?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, essentially, what we've known, for example, that insect populations are in severe decline. For example, there was an incredibly alarming study carried out in a nature reserve in Germany in about 2017. And what they found is that flying insects had dropped by 75% in less than 30 years, from 1991, a 75% drop in flying insects. And these, by the way, are inside nature reserves in Germany. This, it sounds like an anomaly, something that size. The same equivalent surveys were replicated in the US, where they tracked an 83% drop in beetle numbers in 45 years. Puerto Rico, they had a 60-fold collapse in insect biomass, again, in the last 50 years. So what that tells us is that essentially insects, invertebrates, arthropods, these form the base of the food chain and also the life support system here on Earth. There's far more of them, even in terms of volume, than all the humans and all the livestock on Earth. And they form the basis of life on Earth. And what we're seeing are declines, Matt, being calculated between 1 and 2.5% of the total biomass of insect life on Earth declining every year. Now, you can do your calculations pretty quick. If you're declining at the rate of 2 to 2.5% a year, imagine how much you've lost in a decade. You could be losing 20, 25%.
Gordon in Galway says, we need nature. Nature does not need us. Another listener, John, wants to know, can we reverse these numbers?
Wow, that's a big question.
You'd need the political will to introduce measures to do things like stopping the fishing for sprat and for krill and things like that when it comes to fishing. When it comes to protecting bugs and whatever, you would actually have measures that would have to be implemented. They might be unpopular with some people who are making money out of the current arrangements, but I wonder, will we ever get a groundswell of opinion from people to say, this is something we have to do to save ourselves?
It's a very good point. I mean, if I were to loop back briefly to fishing, I mean, Irish fishery ministers, and I'm not picking out any individual, but Irish fishery ministers have been among the most virulent at EU level in demanding that Ireland takes more than the scientific safe limits. So our attitude, unfortunately, in Ireland, in politics to science, is that it's treated as a side issue. The really important thing is making sure that particular financial interest groups are kept on side. So even a relatively small group like the fishing lobby have more sway when it comes to it than any group of environmentalists, and certainly than the vague idea of the general public that they're concerned about decline, because that type of concern, Matt, is very dispersed, whereas lobbyists are able to focus. They get in front of ministers and they're able to make sure, for example, that Ireland continues to flout regulations and continues to drag our feet on bringing in, for example, marine protection. And I believe they're doing this against the will of the Irish public.
A listener says, are the shoals of grey mullet been caught with spray? I don't see them anymore in Galway Bay. Another one says, the unregulated destruction of the sprat stock off West Cork is madness. I show national school kids marine food chain clips regularly. Even 8-year-olds know that removing a whole section of the food chain will result to the collapse of everything else. It is the definition of stupidity, says that listener.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say, but children, sometimes school children, are far clearer in their morality on this. It seems that by the time we get to be adults and by the time we get elected as politicians, suddenly everything becomes complex. Suddenly all these interest groups have to be kept on side, and suddenly doing the right thing becomes, it moves way down the list, Matt. And I think if we, to answer your earlier listener's question, if we as a species are planning to have a long-term future, and I mean this, we are going to need to change fundamentally our relationship with the rest of nature, because if nature goes, and it is going to take us with it. There is this very strange conceit out there that humans are separate from nature. We're no more separate from nature than a snail is from its shell.
We'll be back next week. We'll do an extended edition of Last Word on the Environment, and we're inviting your questions for John, which you can send next week to 0874100102. Don't send them in now. Remember to send them in next week. We'll give you more details of that then. John Gibbons, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word on Today FM.